Okay, let me turn this on here. It is on? What's happening here, Scott? I mean, Todd, what's happening here? Just a minute, they say. Welcome all the visitors. Glad that you're able to be with us this morning. And again, Kevin is up in Dublin, preaching his first gospel meeting, at least in this area, in California. And he was invited by the brethren up there to hold a weekend meeting beginning Friday. I don't know if anyone went up to hear him Friday night and Saturday morning, but it'd be good to keep him in prayer. And also Scott is in Morgan Hill this morning and preaching the Word of God. And so it'd be good for us to keep him there. Okay, what's happening to the... Just a minute, they say. Okay. First time up here in 6 months, and we have to go through this. Let's be turning our Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. You notice the headstone, the burial headstone in the graphic up there. No, this is not my Halloween lesson, but it is a lesson that is scriptural, that is found in the scriptures for each child of God. We have died. We have died, and the old life is past. That is, that's the way it should be. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 again, let's read it again. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So our focus is to be on things of God, on things above, not on this earth. There are many distractions, oftentimes, that carry our minds elsewhere than where it should be. I was looking at the internet just the other day, and I told Loretta about this, and I don't know if it was a virus or whatever it was, but something came up, an advertisement or whatever it was, and it was just different pictures. I mean, a host of pictures, and they were small, and I'm, what in the world is this? And I punched one, and it magnified itself, and it was two homosexual men having a love affair. I mean, and that was the content of all of them, I guess. And I immediately erased it. But, you know, I'm thinking, I told Loretta, what about our grandson who likes to be on the internet? What about your children who like to be on the internet and whatnot? And these things come up, and rather than erase them, they keep them and they watch them. And they get caught in a trap and thinking about maybe this is just an alternate lifestyle and this kind of thing. It was nothing but garbage. And I removed it completely, immediately, as fast as I could. And I know what can happen. I know I've read too much material about becoming entrapped, becoming enslaved to these kind of things. And then pretty soon, we think there's nothing wrong with it. But we're distracted this way. But our life is gone. Our old life is gone and should no longer be tempted by these kind of things. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, etc., etc. We'll go through all of these in a few moments. Christians, I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized believers. That is, immersed into Jesus Christ. I know the world thinks many times that Christians are just anyone who is in any denomination, whatever it may be, whether conservative, liberal, whether extreme, fanatic, whatever, they're Christians and so forth. We should not judge them. But the Bible talks about those who... Our Christians are simply those who have been immersed into the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and are in his body. But our earthly life has died. has died. Yet, a spiritual life has been resurrected. We're still alive. But God looks at us differently than those in the world. He looks at us as spiritual beings, as spiritual entities, no longer as physical. And we need to consider ourselves that way as well. And so, I'm sure we're familiar with the headpiece, the tombstone, R.I.P. What does this stand for? Rest in peace. And that's what the Bible talks about in regard to Christians. We need to rest in the Lord and rest in peace. We're going to be talking about these words, and hopefully we can apply them to our lives. The spiritual person now lives. The spiritual person now is alive. No longer the earthly person. As I look about in the audience this morning, I see spiritual people. I see spiritual persons. That is, those who need to be spiritual in their living. Every moment, every day, every minute of their lives. Spiritual people, not just at Sunday morning services. The spiritual person now lives. And now follows him. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not follow the internet. We do not follow all these things that I'm going to bring up and briefly. And we accept his invitation. His invitation is found in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30. But first of all, let's look at the rest of the scripture there in Colossians 2. By the way, Colossians 3 and verses 1 through the following verses is simply a commentary on what was already discussed by the Apostle Paul in chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. Chapter 2 and beginning with verse 11, well, beginning with verse 9. For in him, then Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Perfect unity with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 10, after talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now it talks about us. And you, Christians, baptized believers, are complete in him. You are perfect in him, who is ahead of all principality and power. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision in your flesh, he has made alive, a new person, a spiritual person. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. But now, in regard to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, we accept his invitation. And his invitation is this. I think we're familiar with this scripture. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. How many of us labor? How many of us struggle through life, the afflictions of this life? All of us do. And we're heavily laden. And Jesus says, I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. A word that is very similar in its understanding and in its definition to when God rested from the creation. You recall in Genesis chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3 that the fact that God saw all his creation and he rested. He rested. He ceased from creating the physical. Everything that was necessary, and we're looking at this in the evenings, Sunday evenings, the DNA and the different parts and the, complicated, complex parts of humanity. All that was set in Adam and Eve from the very beginning. There was nothing else that was needed for life to exist on this earth. And now we're finding out that it is a complex, we are a complex machine. And God rested from his labors, from the creation, But then he continued in his providential care to provide the relationship with humanity later on, without creating anything, any further matter, any further physical. Everything now related to his purpose, eternal purpose. And so very similar to that word, and we'll see that in a minute. Take my yoke upon you. We're to take the responsibilities of a spiritual person and learn of me, he says. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. Again, that word. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light in comparison with what the word, what the sins can do to our life. Rest. That's what the R stands for. In, and we're going to be talking about peace. And that's what a Christian needs to do in this new life. Rest in peace. Christians are a new creation. Christians are a new creation, a spiritual creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I forget which translation I got this from, but I like this. Anyone in Christ, anyone in Jesus Christ, baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, is a new creation. We are a new creation. Old things have disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. Do we understand that as children of God? A new way of living has now come into our lives, into our surrounding lives, into our family life, into our marital life. A new way of living has come into our existence. Verse 18, I'm impressed with verse 18. Oftentimes we don't read any further, but notice with that, in this new life, all things are of God. They're not of the world. All things are of God. Attending services. I mean, we must thank God that we can begin the week this way. Worshiping God, meeting together with Christians, studying His Word, the Word of life, and all the things that are involved in our fellowship, in our worship, and our adoration of God. We begin the week this way, remembering His sacrifice for us. We need to carry that for the rest of the week until next week, and the same thing comes along. We must thank God that we can begin this way. A lot of people in this world are beginning the new week today by watching a football game, as if that's going to take them to heaven. By watching the Raiders, or watching the 49ers, or watching the Dallas Cowboys, or whoever it may be. I'm not saying anything against those teams. They're fine, but that's not what life is all about. For a Christian, life is about worshiping God, submitting to God, living the spiritual life. All things are of God. Jesus now is king. Now he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Now we rest in him. The word rest comes from this Greek word anapao, and it means ease. Spiritually, to be at ease. Life is filled with turmoil. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 39 and verse 17, I believe, I'm not sure where it's at, but it talks about the afflictions of the righteous are many. The afflictions of the righteous are many. We can have a perfect life. We can live in the most beautiful area of the United States, of the world, whatever it may be, but we still suffer affliction. We still suffer with pain. We suffer with a lot of things. The afflictions of the righteous are many, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can rest. That is, in the midst of affliction, have an ease. we can say, stop. Let go of these things and let God. By the way, a definition for this rest is also recreation. You know what recreation is? Recreated. Recreated. We go on vacation. Recreation, what not to recreate ourselves, get away from the struggles, get away from the problems, get away from work, whatever it may be, so that we can come back refreshed, recreated, and start all over again. But that's what the idea. But spiritually, the Lord is able to give us rest. We can stop the things of the world, the material things of life. Just like God Almighty back in the beginning stopped the material creation, we can stop all of earthly activity and now begin a new way of living. And we should understand that. Now we wait for Him. By the way, as we look at that, let's look at Psalms 37. Psalms 37. And verse 5. Psalms 37 and verse 5. We don't have this on the overhead, but I think it would be good for us to look at this. In the midst of struggles, David wrote this psalm. In the midst of affliction, in the midst of going through the desert, being chased by Saul of Tarsus, Saul, the king, who was trying to kill him, and with 300 just all kinds of individuals who ragtag type of individuals with him, having a hard time controlling them. David writes this. And he says in verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, as your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently. Oftentimes the word is followed by the word patience. Because oftentimes we wait and we twiddle our thumbs and whatnot. And when is the Lord going to act in our lives? Wait patiently. I'm sure the Israelites, when they were in captivity over 400 years, they were a praying people. They prayed probably every morning, noon, and night. Lord, release us from this captivity. This enslavement by Pharaoh, a new Pharaoh has been seated now, and he doesn't know us and whatnot, and we're being whipped at and so forth. When are you going to release us? And they waited and waited and waited. Generations waited, and eventually God sent Moses. In his time, he can take care of things, and he will take care of things. We wait for him. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. The scripture says, be anxious and what? Be anxious. Do not be anxious. The Lord says, one day comes, one day comes after the next, whatnot, ends, and so forth. But God knows our needs, and he will provide for us. We need to wait for him to answer in according to his way. And in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. In verse 34 of this song, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And keep his way while you're waiting. Keep his way. And he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. And so forth. Anyway, we wait for him. The word wait comes from the Hebrew word kavah. And it means let guide. Let the Lord guide you. Let go of the things and put your trust in God and let him work things out. Put your problems into the Lord's hands and allow him to work, help you work them out. Follow and trust with patience. Now we rest and we wait for him in spiritual peace. The word peace comes from the beautiful Greek word Eirene. We usually refer to it as Irene. That's a beautiful name, isn't it? Irene. Eirene is the Greek pronunciation, and it means calmness. We rest in calmness, not in all frustration and waking up in the middle of the morning and wondering our stomach tied in knots and whatnot, wondering what's going to happen with my job, what's going to happen with our economic situation, like a sister in Christ called me not too long ago. What are we going to do about this, economic crisis? I says, trust in the Lord. Okay, thank you. Boom. I like those kind of calls. Trust in the Lord. Don't worry about it. Sure, we can tighten our belt. We can do things to help ourselves. But in the end result, everything depends on God and our faithfulness to God. I think of Lazarus, who was begging for crumbs at the rich man's table. Where do you think he's at right now, Lazarus? In Abraham's bosom. And where do you think the rich man who had everything, where is he at? In torments. Rest in peace. Calmness. Quietness. And by the way, the word quietness doesn't mean zipped up. It just means living our life, minding our own business. Quit trying to control everyone else's business. You control your business and your mind and your anxiety to the point where you can just leave it in the Lord's hands. He doesn't sleep. Why should you not sleep? Put it in the Lord's hands and you can fall asleep. He'll take care of it. We wait in serenity, not worried. Not worried. Spiritual peace are among the Lord's final words. On the night before he suffered, on the night before he had unfathomable problems and stress, where he bled, he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. That's how much stress there was on the physical body. He talks about peace. His peace. In John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. Before he went into the garden, this is what he said to his apostles. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now notice, not as the world gives. What does the world say? Peace. Have a sign. No war. No judging. Everything is depending on physical unity, physical peace. It's not going to happen, folks. As long as there are people in this earth, peace is not going to happen, physical peace. But spiritual peace can happen as we control our lives. Not as the world gives do I give to you. My peace I give to you. That indicates that his peace is different. It's a spiritual peace. It's not a physical peace. And in this peace, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. I want to predict something for you at this time. The Mayans have prophesied this for many generations. Hollywood has taken a movie and so forth and prophesied of the Mayan prophecy that's going to be happening on December the 21st of this year. And I can prophesy that after Thanksgiving, I mean, we're going to be inundated with everything. Better prepare, and especially with the Sandy, the hurricane and whatnot and so forth, and the change of weather patterns and so on and so forth. Is this world coming to an end? We're already beginning to hear from it. And there are already Christians that are just kind of, well, wonder what's going to happen and so forth, so on and so forth. And there are preachers who are getting up. But after Thanksgiving, after the holidays, we're going to be just hearing it all the time. And there's going to be a lot of calls to the elders and the preachers and Kevin. What about? Don't be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, Jesus says, that in me, in his, in relationship to him, you may have peace, spiritual peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So why don't we put our lives in the one who has overcome the world? In John 20, after his resurrection, you recall that he came into the room where the apostles were at. They had closed doors. They were afraid of the Roman authorities coming and banging on those doors and whatnot and taking them prisoner and whatnot. And they were all huddled together. And there Jesus appears with them right in the middle. And what does he say? Peace be to you. This word peace. Irene. And then also, in verse 21, just two verses later, peace. He showed him his hands. He showed him his scar from the wound from the spear. He showed him, no doubt, you know, many more things in regard to what he has suffered. And he says, peace be with you. And then, who was not there? And that first time, that first day of the week. The next first day of the week, 8 days later, Thomas is there. Thomas is there. And again, he appears in the midst of them. And Thomas has said, I will not believe unless I see the wounds in his hand and so forth. And boy, Jesus appears. Can you imagine how they thought, how they felt? And yet he says, peace be with you. Spiritual peace. Let the peace of God rule, guard your hearts. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. Colossians 3 that we're reading. Beginning with verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, we are special. Not that this, we should wear this in a proud way. It humbles us that we are special. And as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. Instead of fighting with each other as Christians, we bear with one another. And forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's the cement of perfection. And verse 15. And let the peace of God, the spiritual calmness, turning things over to God, not worrying about what the world thinks and the world does. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Peace of God is to rule in our hearts. That word rule comes from this Greek word, brabeo, and it means arbiter, umpire, a referee. You know, the World Series has just ended, and my great-grandson Tito, 5 years old, he said, Papa, the Giants won the World Seriousness. He won the World Series. No, he won the World Seriousness. But you know, there was some close calls. You recall? Was it Fielder who came in from third base and slid into first into home plate and Posey tagged him out? It was a close call. And man, he got up, he was out. But he got up and he was going to argue with the umpire. You remember that? And he got up and just kind of angry. And I guess he thought, I'm in the World Series. If I get this umpire who rules the game, who makes the official announcements and pronouncements and decisions, if I get him upset, he's going to say, to the showers. And I'll be out of the World Series. I'm sure he thought about all that. And so he shut up. There was another close call when someone stole second base, you recall. And it was a close call, but not so forth. And it had to be looked at carefully. I thought he was out. He was out at first. But he was safe. But the umpire says, safe. We are to allow the word, the peace of God to rule, to umpire in our heart. Wrong, difficult decisions, look to God. Make a decision and let the peace of God rule in that life, in that struggle, in that difficult decision. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind and life. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Philippians 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. There's no way we can completely understand it completely. Will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It will guard. It will guard our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. In the Christian's new life, God's rest, God's peace must apply in a Christian's daily living. Once we leave this building, God doesn't close the doors to our life, and we can just do anything we want. God still looks to us as spiritual beings, and we need to realize that we continue to rest, we continue to have the peace of God, even after we leave the building, for the remainder of our lives, every moment, every minute, every hour, until our lives, we're dead in the spiritual sense, that is, in the physical sense, we must be committed to the Lord. God's rest and peace are to be final authorities in our daily life, in our daily existence. Now here's what I said. There's a whole bunch of things, and I'm going to go through this quickly. Not self. Well, I think, who cares what you think? We have what God thinks and what God reveals right here. Family, friends, sports, entertainment, food, good health, money, education, job, the strongest, your house, tech stuff. I mean, we're swamped with tech stuff, iPads and iPhones and so forth, and smartphones and whatnot. Who wins the argument? That's not whose authority we need to go by. Hard times, stress, false prophecies like we're going to be hearing about December the 21st, 2012, the end of the world and so forth. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people sweating and clammy hands and waking up in the middle of the night and so forth. That's not our final authority. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we can just list off. I mean, how many more that control people's lives? They are not the final authority. The final authority is God and His Word. And our faithfulness to Him. Final thoughts. The devil will always put distractions in our way, in our life. Distractions to the point where they're like spider webs, and once we get caught in those, it's hard to get away from them. We must not allow these to become standards by which we deal with problems with one another, worry, fret, etc. One day, it will all end. It will. But let's not let the Lord find us unprepared, fretting, worried, arguing, distracted, etc. Let's find, as we close, let's look at 2 Peter chapter, beginning with verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, and beginning with verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, But both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, they will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What kind of Christians are we to be in light of the fact that it's going to one day all end? We need to be looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Nevertheless, beloved, looking forward to all these things, the finality of all these things, it says in verse 14, looking forward to these things, be diligent. Give it your best shot to be found in him in peace. In peace. Spiritual peace. Without spot. That is pure and blameless. We live in an impure world. An immoral world. I had a fella call me from Wisconsin yesterday morning. And he says, where is San Jose? I says, it's about 50 miles south of San Francisco. Oh, my goodness, that's such an evil city. It is. It's an immoral, an evil city. Physically a beautiful city, the Golden Gate and so on and so forth, the hills and whatnot. But morally, it is without conscience. People going naked in the streets, homosexuals, you know, and so forth. But we need to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And we need to account, we need to regard that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. The very fact that he's waited until now for your life, if you're not a Christian yet, you know, you need to thank God that you can find salvation still in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we close, let's be found resting and waiting on God. Pure, blameless, and in peace. Spiritual peace. No matter what life brings, no matter how bad it gets. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If we understand we're living a new life. As children of God, a spiritual life, not a physical life. We need to put our focus, our attention on things above, not on this earth. This earth is a trap, and we can easily focus on these things and get trapped and get sucked in on those things. Have you been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ yet? Be clothed with Jesus today. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. For by faith we are all children of God. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ, we've put on Christ. We pray that you can do that this morning. If there is any other way that we can help you, come as together we stand and as we sing.
Living below in this all sinful world.